Oh, hi. I didn't see you there. This is me, Vink, reporting now live from VinkCon. Oh, what is VinkCon, you ask? Well, since I couldn't be at MagFest doing the regular podcast this week, I figured I'd have a little convention of my own, and it's going really well. You can see highlights and clips from this convention by going to our website, FamicomDojo.tv, and in our show notes you'll see a little link to a small, somewhat embarrassing video. And believe me, you will be disappointed. You won't be disappointed unless you expected anything. Please go right ahead, and I hope you've enjoyed the podcast that Sean has put together for you. Back next week with more of the usual banter between Sean and I.
So, how was VinkCon, Vink?
Well, VinkCon was great as always. I mean, I say always. This was the first VinkCon. And
sure. Well, I guess, you know, once counts as always. You know, especially if it never happens again, then it was always a memory to cherish, right?
I suppose that's one kind of cynical way of looking at it. How was MagFest?
MagFest was pretty interesting. It was big. It was way bigger than last year. You know, I didn't want to talk too much about it at length because we have like half an hour worth of video diaries plus, you know, like a video a day coming out like since the day of the convention, essentially. It should be like 9 of them up by the end of this week, by the time you hear this podcast, essentially, and then 10 once you get to the Wednesday afterwards.
And then after that, maybe we can get the rest of the TGS videos.
Yeah, right. God, there's so many of those. We've already got like 17 of those up or something already. That's amazing.
Yep.
But, you know, got to hang out with some cool people. We had G-Wario last week, as those who listen to the podcast know. So we got to talk to him for a bit, too, before and after the show, and that was nice. Didn't get to see him for the rest of the weekend, because the place is just so big. You don't run into people that often. But I did manage to meet some Famicom Dojo fans, some of whom even listened to the podcast. Apparently they keep telling me how much they like my work and they didn't think I was spoony.
Oh, really? Well,
so like, you know, say hi to Vink. We know he's at VinkCon and can't come, but,
well, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be a VinkCon without Vink, would it? So, I mean, that would be pretty lame.
I know. The guests of honor would be missing. But, you know, there's all kinds of video if you haven't checked it out yet. So there's a section on the website, MagFest/2012. So you can check out all the video footage that's either going to go up yet or has already been put up because you're listening to this in the future. And, yeah, awesome times. And I believe at least one of us will be going next year, so.
Well, I'll definitely be going to VinkCon next year.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, sorry. You can check out all of the VinkCon footage in that 1 2-minute video that was put up before MagFest started. So, I don't know. I should probably talk a little about the VinkCon video.
Sure, sure.
That was recorded around 2 a.m.
Oh, my.
Because I wanted to be part of the podcast in some way. And actually, the audio that I recorded to go along with that didn't get to Sean in time. So
yeah, it was kind of a cock-up. It had to do with me not being able to read a certain file type with my ancient editing program. And then it got here, but like an hour after the podcast was published.
But, I mean, it's okay. But if you haven't checked it out, go to the VinkCon footage. But I don't know. Like, I was still awake at like 2, and I was just going to record like a little segment to go along with the podcast. And then I'm like, camera. And then I'm like, no. Because we've spun this idea around for a little while of doing mm-hmm. of doing kind of a fine if.
It kind of like on the Futurama thing. It's like, I'll start my own convention, but with blackjack and hookers. Yeah.
In fact, forget the blackjack and the hookers. But
I have neither blackjack nor hookers, so I found that I did have Cookie Monster and a basketball.
Oh, man.
So I whipped up some signs. The longest part of that video was constructing the T-shirt. I didn't actually want to ruin any of my T-shirts. I need them for work, so I just put red tape all over it.
Nice. Someone commented they were happy they can cosplay as Vink finally.
Well, that's good. I don't know what a Vink cosplay outfit would consist of.
Perhaps Mnemone?
perhaps you'd like cut off some of the front part of your hair and wear some glasses and. That's about it.
So, in that case, there were lots of Vink cosplayers at MAGFest, I'll be pleased to know.
I'm sure. But I think the best part about Vink Con was definitely the first comment. Well, oh, by the way, I'd like to point out that at this point, and this is a little bit sad, but like, of all the MAGFest videos up, VinkCon is the one with the most comments. Ah.
True.
And that shouldn't be. Sean's put a lot of work into his stuff, so please check that out.
Goodness.
And comment on that. As much as I do appreciate the VinkCon comments.
Yeah, it's really funny. But to be fair, there's only one video of VinkCon, and there's maybe 100 videos of Nobuo Uematsu performing with the Earthbound Papas. So
true. I'm gonna try to get him at VinkCon next year.
Yeah. I hear he's in your neck of the woods. It might be a shorter trip for him.
I don't know. Like, basketball's really preferential about who he appears with. So. Okay, so that brings me to the next thing. We should definitely link this in the video. But
yeah,
one of the first comments I got was from Lord Toon, and he made a poster, and the poster is for VinkCon 2012, located in Vink's bathroom. Meet Cookie Monster and a basketball from the NBA. Now, it's fairly simple, but it really does look a lot better than. Well, anything else connected with VinkCon.
It looks better than a lot of professional posters I've seen for actual conventions.
Ouch, low blow.
But it's true.
But VinkCon 2012 poster probably took more time to make than the actual VinkCon. So hats off. And this is a prime example of user-generated content.
I see what you did there.
Yes, I am linking it in. And sometimes the user-generated content is really what makes the thing. I mean, what would Homestar Runner be without the Strong Bad emails, which are sent in by fans and then made fun of?
Right.
If anyone's not familiar with the Homestar Runner and you live on the internet, you should probably check that one out because you missed something.
It's .com.
Yeah. Okay, we'll have to link that. I mean, yeah, there's not really any new content on that site, but it's the archive is worth it. So
timeless.
But anyway, so user generated content in games. How do you feel about user generated content in games, Sean?
Well, I generally feel good about it. Some of my most fond memories are like making Doom 2 maps. Which was a lot of fun, but I was crazy about it. I would make these crazy death traps, put like invisible warp points in spots, and have like these walls that you could walk through, but you can only look through the one way, like little duck blinds and stuff, where you could snipe your friends, and just puzzles to get the really awesome weapons. This isn't like in a deathmatch arena, right? So it's not like a single player game. It's like, you know, you're there to frag your friends, but then you end up, it's like, oh, where is he going? Oh, he's getting the BFG. But he has to fall through this pit in a series of invisible barriers that will dump him into a room full of monsters if he doesn't pick the right path or whatever.
Wow. Doom mods. That just, wow. That takes me really, really far back. I mean, but But, I mean, if you think about it, user-generated content, maybe not in a sharing aspect, but, like, user-generated content has been available for a very long time. I'm gonna go as far back as the Famicom, well, actually, for me, it was the NES programmable series.
What?
The programmable series. Okay. It said it right on the game.
Wow. That doesn't sound like a game.
Yeah, no. It was, you know, like the early Nintendo carts, you know, the NES carts. They had a, the ones made by Nintendo had a, had an image in the corner, I think it was the lower right hand corner, and it would be like action series, adventure series.
Right. Okay, I gotcha.
You know, and they had the pixelated art on. Yeah, you know, Mario was in action series.
Yeah.
And
Metroid.
And, Donkey Kong Jr. Math was educational series.
Right.
And
gotcha.
There was robot series that had
what?
Two games in it.
Madness.
Gyromite and Stack Up or whatever.
Sure.
The two Rob games.
Gotcha.
But there was a programmable series. And gosh, there might have been one more in this, but like the only one I can think of, and the one that was quite popular, is Excitebike.
Oh, right. Oh, I totally forgot about this. I would love making those tracks. Like I remember like what an R looks like and an S. Like every little piece you could create was attached to a letter. I hated the A's. Ah, stupid A's.
You know what I hated about it?
What?
Was that it didn't really work.
What do you mean?
Okay, you created your own levels, right?
Right.
Okay. Now this was before the battery backup.
Sure.
Okay. So when you turned off your system and turned it back on, where was your level?
Yeah, in my brain.
But do you remember the disappointment? I don't know. Maybe you didn't have I had Excitebike, and there's an option in the menu that says save.
Oh,
and
what?
You save and it just doesn't do anything.
Does it not do anything, or can you like go and play like the first player game and then come back out to the menu and then like bring up your saved track again while the system's still on?
You might be able to do that, but there's a good reason why this save was here and why it doesn't work.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Do you know what it is? Yes,
it was a disk system game, wasn't it?
It wasn't. They did make a disk system version of it.
Okay.
Excitebike Versus.
Okay.
Which was actually a really good game.
Okay. Okay. Let me try again. It was that tape backup thing, wasn't it?
You got it. In Nintendo. Sorry, in Japan. Wow, I can't even separate the two.
In Nintendo, which is in Japan, in the country of Nintendo.
Early on, they had. This is before the disk system came out, so this is pre-1986. So okay. I think it came out in 83, 84, like pretty early on in the life of the Nintendo. Probably 84 is more likely, but there was a Famicom tape backup unit.
Right.
Yes, not backup, but like you could save data. I think it was called the Famicom Data Recorder.
Yep.
And it could save information from your game onto a cassette tape. Now this is high tech stuff,
right? 1970s technology in the 80s.
Right. But hey, you could also play regular tapes on that.
Oh, well, that's kind of like how you could play CDs on the PC Engine CD. Or
yeah, an incredibly expensive way to do something you wouldn't do through that.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, I know it worked with Famicom Basic, but Famicom Basic never came out in the U.S.
Right, and the keyboard and all that. Yeah.
Famicom Basic version 3 had other ways of backing up. But the original version, it was the data recorder, was how you would save your games, your tiny games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is saving like 2K of data, and it took like I don't know a few minutes, but anyway,
2K, it's like a million K.
When you shut up, okay. So when you hit that save button, you see the Japanese version of Excitebike and the American version of Excitebike are the same,
except
that when you hit save, it doesn't go to anything because there was never any data recorder in the U.S.
Oh man, and no way to hook up that peripheral.
I know someone's going to write in and go, that's not true. It's actually slightly different.
I'm sure he someone's like modded.
Now he's pink or something. Yeah, but
I'm sure someone's like modded a family data, data recorded to actually like fit into the controller 2 slot or something. I don't know.
But anyway, so but what's strange is that they didn't take that save out of the game.
Right, yeah, it is weird.
I had the original though. Maybe in later versions they did take it out. If anybody knows, please write in.
Right.
But I remember being so disappointed as a kid because I'd hit save and sit there for a long time because, you know, it was sending data to a recorder, which would have taken a long time to record. And then I'm like, it's saved. And I turn off my Nintendo and I turn it back on.
Oh,
like,
nothing.
Hey,
how maddening.
Way too long making that level.
And
it was all ramps.
I didn't have this disappointing first experience, or if I did, I've blocked it out. I just knew that like once my magnificent creation had been played and I turned off the console, that would be it. I think I might have left the game on for like a week just so that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I left mine on for a long time. Mario Paint was a disappointment too. You can only save one thing. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we talked about that in an earlier show.
Yeah, but. But anyway, the thing about the data recorder, though, is technically, I mean, this is as low tech as it gets, but you could send a tape to your friend in another part of Japan.
Right.
Or level on it. I mean, and possibly, no, this, I was going to say, maybe you could even upload the data to some kind of primitive BBS system.
Who knows?
But there's probably no way to. There probably was no real way to record the data from it to audio, you know, at the time. But now, theoretically, if you still had this recorder, you could record it as an MP3.
Oh, what?
Transfer it to another cassette tape and send it to somebody, you know.
Whoa.
Theoretically. Oh, gosh.
I want to try this stupid. Now. send me a data recorder.
Yeah. Yeah, those are a dime a dozen here.
Oh, sure.
Data recorders. Hold on. Oh, I've got a whole closet full of them. Ah, I live in Japan. It's magical. But but modern games. Modern games are doing this too. Is this an awesome way to share your best creation, or is this a way for developers to not have to actually finish the game?
That could be, or it's also a way to draw penises on your racing cars or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you noticed that in any game that allows you to make any form of side scroller, the first thing people ever do is make the first level of Mario? Like Little Big Planet. A lot of the first mods were like Contra in Little Big Planet and Mario in Little Big Planet. Or like Mario in Minecraft or something.
That's how like id Software got their start. Like one of the things they did was to be able to do Mario on a PC, which shouldn't have been possible given its power.
The Commander Keen engine.
Yeah, exactly. So and they made a lot of money. I hear they're still around.
yeah. Well, half of them.
Well, you know, Carmack's a good guy.
John went on to form Digital Chocolate, I think.
Something. I never heard of it.
Some mobile firm. This luscious, luscious girl hair.
Oh,
but,
baby. Talk about the 70s.
So, I mean, people have been doing, and like, there's lots of ways to do original content now. Of course, you talked about the modding community, which was huge for PCs, but doing it for consoles is a fairly new concept.
Yeah, I can't think the last time I did this in earnest. I know I customized cards for F-Zero, the GameCube version, and made tracks and stuff. I also found out that you couldn't move any of that data once it was saved to a card, so that was a little annoying and a little short-sighted. The Soul Calibur series has allowed character customization since 3, and 5 is about to come out this month.
Can you share that? Can you give that to anybody? Can you...
I don't.
That's the revolution. So. Like, making custom characters and stuff has been around for a long time, but like the ability to actually give that to someone else.
I guess you can. You used to be able to. create and share Miis. You couldn't edit them if they weren't on your console, but like, you know, you could like grab someone's Mii from a Mii parade from all your friends, yep, and then they'd be in your games.
And of course, okay, this game really didn't get much attention. It's a Wii game called Blastworks. Have you heard of this?
I know Blast Core for the game for N64.
No, it was for the Wii. The Wii.
Blast Wars.
I picked this up for the nightly sum of $5 at Best Buy. So it must have sold very well.
Naturally.
2 months after it came out. But it allowed you to customize your own levels for a shooter.
Interesting.
And it was a weird shooter, too. It was a shooter where every time you shot something, like, it would blow up into parts, and you could attach those parts to you and become, like, giant. No, it was... Like it wasn't super deep, but it was really fun, and it had a 4-player mode, which I've never actually played because I can never convince anybody to play Blastworks. I think I got Alex to play with me once, and we created this Gigantor like ship. The ship was 2/3 of the screen at this point, our ship. So we just kind of mowed through. But
nice.
But like it was a fun game. I mean, if anybody wants to play it, I'm sure it can probably be gotten on eBay for about $3 at this point. But it allowed you to save levels and share them on a network.
Right. Okay.
To tell you the truth, I think this is the first Wii game to actually do something. Wii game to do so.
That depends. Did it come out before or after Smash Brothers Brawl? Because Brawl, I just remember it would let you trade edited or custom levels.
Oh, that was the next point on my list. Even that,
oh
that was,
no,
but you're right. Did you do this? Did you make levels?
I know Phil Bond did. There was some really hellish levels, and I honestly didn't enjoy playing the custom ones as much as the standard ones.
I never made one. I never made one. I think I made one as a test, but I don't think I never saved or shared it. But I'd go on some of these levels or whatever, and I'm like, give me a random level. These horribly designed levels. just like, I'm like, ugh. All right, I'm going to leave it to Nintendo to make the levels. You guys can play the game, but stay away from the construction part of it.
You've played Excite Truck, I'm sure.
Yes.
One of the cool, I mean, it was a launch Wii title, right? I think it was one of the two or three I walked away with when I got it. Or it was very near to launch anyway.
I talked it up heavily.
You were like, you and Alex were like, oh, Excite Truck! Yeah!
We had a special voice made just for Excite Truck. Yeah, we'd be like,
pretty oh, much.
Man, I'm totally excited right now! I'm enjoying myself so much!
But it was true. It was a ridiculously fun game, and because you had this SD card, you could like put your own MP3s on it and have them play in the background.
You could, and what would be great was that I'm all for things that don't match very well. So we do opera in it, and like
yes,
school children singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star on like one of the harder stages. It just kind of throws you up. But the best one is the MP3 that was recorded was I never got to use this one because I kind of devised this plan after our big Excite Truck days, but it'd be an MP3 of almost entirely silence because I'd say or playing very, very softly, and I'd be like, oh man, I must have done this one wrong. And then I'd know when it was coming, but they wouldn't. Just explosion of noise to try to throw them off. I don't know if it would work in reality, though, because it would probably throw me off, too. But,
oh, God.
But with Xbox and stuff, I mean, that was new for Wii, but like for Xbox and stuff, the idea of being able to use custom soundtracks has been around forever.
What someone should do is they should take our podcast and make that their custom soundtrack, so you hear the first 5 minutes of the same show over and over.
Yeah, that sounds really fun. Although you could take our MP3 of RPG, though. That's a good song.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, that song would actually kind of fit Excite Truck really well. I could see myself rocking out to that.
It would be most appropriate.
Did you ever play the sequel to Excite Truck, Excite Bots?
No, I never picked it up for some reason, and it's not because it looks a little sillier than the first game. It's just, I don't know. Excite Truck is just so much fun.
There is a power-up in Excitebots that's called Super Sandwich. And I don't know. Like, I wish they had just made it Excite Truck 2. Because I don't like the bots. I don't like the concept of them. But it is a really good game. In fact, probably as a game, it's better than Excite Truck. But Excite Truck was Excite Truck.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has such a dumb name. Because like Excite Bike, it kind of works. But like Excite Truck, it's just shoehorned in there.
Mm-hmm.
But user generated content is definitely here to stay.
Oh man.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it can be okay. Like, well, have you played Minecraft?
That is a really good example of a game where, like, at this point, if they ever release what the game is supposed to be, it's just going to be like another mod for the Minecraft engine, and people will probably just be like, I made something better last week.
Well, look at games like the original Half-Life. You know, mods were more popular ever than like probably the main campaign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You remember Nathan?
Oh, naturally. Hi, Nathan.
Hi. Yeah, I don't think he listens to our podcast.
Oh man.
But I don't know. But he was really big into Counter-Strike and stuff like that. He would do all these, you know, these custom mods and stuff. But like, I don't think I ever saw him actually playing the regular game.
Oh, interesting. Right.
But I mean, for PCs, it's been user-generated content for a long time. But for consoles, it's still relatively new. Yeah, I don't know, though. Like, Little Big Planet. Did you play Little Big Planet? You know a Little Big
Planet. Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. That's got user-generated content all over the place. You mentioned a little bit earlier about like how like people just recreate Mario in it or something.
And... Yeah, Contra was a big one. And they did a really good job. And some of those are quite fun.
Yeah.
But like, one thing I noticed, and we're definitely going to get hate mail here, but like, the levels that actually are included with the game are not as clever as levels in like a Mario game.
Why do you keep saying things that will just upset people?
I know. And I think that the physics are too floaty. Oh, this is going to get, because it's a physics game and Mario physics are totally unrealistic. Like, they are more realistic in Little Big Planet. It makes more sense. The physical things, their physics are great, but like it doesn't feel like video game physics. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. Really, how high can a fat Italian plumber really jump? Maybe a foot.
But like,
we're gonna get all this plumber hate mail.
Again, it's probably because I grew up with the kind of control, and you know, like, how fast a character jumps and how far they can jump, which was, I mean, not standard, but, you know, a lot of this 8 and 16-bit video games followed kind of the same precedents, you know. And now with ragdoll physics and stuff, I don't know. But anyway,
yeah,
I've got Little Big Planet. I like Little Big Planet, but sometimes it seems too much like the game makers like, here's a game. It's the sandbox construction set. Go nuts with it. But sometimes I'm like, no, you make it, please. I just want to play it. You know,
right.
I don't want to make it. I like Minecraft's the same way with me. I'm like, wow, if I was still in college, this would be the best game ever.
Right. Because Minecraft's not a game right now. It's just a world creation engine.
Yeah, pretty much. And it looks really fun. It looks really fun, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't have the time to devote to that. I need to play a game that where the levels are made by someone with, you know, experience in level creation.
Well, I sort of have a different problem with Minecraft in that I know I would get hooked and I would just spend all my time doing it, and I can't afford that.
I can see you getting totally hooked.
Well, like people keep asking me, oh, you should come to our Minecraft server. It's so much fun. You know, you can just build all this crazy stuff. And I would do the weirdest thing. I like go into some area where it wasn't incredibly obvious that I had done anything at all. It's like, I thought you were logging in. What's going on? And then they'd like fall through a trap door or something, and there'd be like this underground palace and waterfalls and flowing lava everywhere.
You know, like making levels, you're just like punishing people.
Yes.
You're a bad person, Mr. Sean.
It's like I'd be like Temple of Doom, this thing, you know? Yeah.
I don't know, though. Like, that would be an interesting podcast right there. Like, games we avoid playing because we feel we'd like them too much. You
know? Maybe we have next week's topic already. Oh.
Maybe. But, like, there's a number of games that I've bought that I'm like, I can't open this. Because once I open this box, it's like, it's Pandora's game, you know?
Right, right.
I will never be able to contain its but it's in reverse. If I open this, I will never be able to contain its awesomeness again.
Yes.
Like, my brother was like, you know, after I finished Skyward Sword, do you want to borrow it? And I'm like, yes. But, you know, it's like, I have things to do, real.
Right, right. Well, this might make you feel a little bit better. And
yeah.
We're, again, preface this with the more hate mail thing. It's my turn now.
Okay.
Skyward Sword is the most hand-holdy Zelda ever made.
I like that, though.
Really?
No, just kidding.
All right. Well, in that case, you'll have a great time. No, like especially the first part of the game, it's just all this talking. Talking, and I want the talking to end so I can go somewhere. But then I try and go somewhere, and it's like, hey, what you doing going that way? And I'm like, excuse me, I'm going to explore this wonderful world. And they're like, no, you have to find my long-lost brother first. Ah, your brother's stupid.
So you want, like, Grand Theft Zelda?
No,
just wanted to, like, throw you in there and be like, I'm just going to attack chickens today. That's all I'm going to do.
Sure. I mean, you know, the original Zelda was supposed to give you this sense of exploration, and it just dumps you into the overworld, and you can go anywhere and do anything, and if you aren't prepared for it, you will die. That doesn't happen anymore in Zelda, by the way. At least not this one.
What? You can't die in Zelda?
You can, but it's incredibly hard.
Oh.
At least it is for me.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, you fall off cliffs, you don't even lose hearts anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, wow.
Uh-huh.
I still want to play it.
It's a fun game, I'm just telling you. I'm just warning you. It's a different kind of Zelda.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of hate now, this podcast.
No user-generated content, though. I guess.
You know what? I don't really care much for Microsoft or Sony.
Oh.
Or Nintendo.
That's Sega, I tell you.
Or Apple.
Atari. Man, what were those guys thinking?
I don't know. You know, Bandai. That's where it is.
You heard that Bandai is getting out of the whole we make awesome things industry, right?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They're going to stop releasing DVDs and manga, I guess.
So what are they going to release?
Well, they're going to let Namco do everything, I suppose.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, then we're going to need some users to generate some of that
content. If they can't make any money doing it, then it's up to the users.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I think of a positive example?
Go for it.
Now, someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure they will. Please do. There are lots and lots of Halo maps out there, and there's ways to generate your own.
Yeah.
Which I've never really availed myself of, but like I've played some really fun ones, just crazy ones where you end up in this room and there's kind of like a warp gate in front of you, and there's like a bunch of vehicles, and it's like, well, what's this? And then you do it. You pass through this huge gate. And it's just this 45-degree slant that ends in another warp gate that brings you back to the top. It just keeps going and going and going. So these vehicles just build up more and more speed. And the idea is it's with the infection game type. You're trying to splatter zombies or the humans or whatever, you know, until the game's over.
Poor zombies.
And that's just crazy. I mean, like, you know, the zombies have hammers, so they're able to hit the vehicles, and they go like flying and spinning, and like, you know, there's like the guys are still on them, And it's weird, it's crazy. But like Infection itself, I think originally was some kind of mod that's been sort of accepted into the main game types of Halo.
Huh.
That's the part someone should correct me on. Unless I'm wrong about that. And I'm pretty sure it didn't used to be something you could normally do, but I think it came around like in Halo 2, which is like the first multiplayer version of Halo. So, yeah.
Well, the first online multiplayer version of Halo.
Right,
first,
online multiplayer.
I played Halo multiplayer, the first one, so.
Yeah. Well, now I can play that one, too, because Anniversary, is Anniversary out? You wouldn't know it if it is, because I haven't heard a darn thing about it.
I don't have an Xbox 360.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And there's I have the worst reason ever for not, well, maybe not the worst reason ever, but I have a bad reason for not having an Xbox 360.
Okay.
I don't have a place to put it.
That is a terrible reason.
Well, that's pretty much it. The entertainment center is full, and if I want to put an Xbox 360 in, I got to get rid of something else.
Right.
Oh man, there's gonna be a lot of people writing in and be like, just put one away for a little while and just blah 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 blah. Yeah, I'll do that as soon as someone gives me an Xbox 360.
Put away one of your two Wiis.
I need my two Wiis.
You know, most people only have one. You're a lucky guy for having two.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes
hey,
I have
wait.
One at all.
There was some kind of double meaning in there.
I don't know what you mean.
And once I figure it out, I'm going to be real upset.
I guess I like user-generated content overall, I suppose.
I like the concept of it too, but I just don't like it when user-generated content is put in to like replace actual game. Like the thing is, it depends what kind of experience you're in for. Like I could go down to the store and I could buy a toy car, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If I want to like drive a car around my bathtub. Don't judge me. Anyway. Or if I felt in that type of mood, I'd go and pick up a model kit that I'd put together myself and paint and customize and, you know. But it really depends. And I just hope that developers will always give us a choice there. What do you think? What do you think with the Wii U? I think that's going to be an amazing thing that's going to probably have a lot of user-generated content.
You think so? Because it depends. I don't know where they're going with it. It'd be, you know, you have these Miis. You have a lot of games that they were demonstrating for the Wii U at E3 last year and then just CES this last weekend.
Yeah.
This last week, I guess, is during the week. And it includes like a Chase Mii and some other Mii. It's fun, punny titles. But it's like, you know, couldn't they just like release the general Mii gaming tools and let people make their own stuff? That would be kind of cool. Because you have your Miis already.
But you know what they're going to make if you let people do user-generated content.
The first level in Mario.
The first level in Mario. And body parts that are best left not on Miis.
Well, I don't think you can add body. Well, I guess you'd have to be able to add some things to Miis. Well, anyway, yeah, it'd be interesting though. It's like to have this little sandbox, essentially, this playground. It'd be great for kids. It'd be cool for some adults.
You know, one of the best pieces of user generated content.
Hmm.
And this isn't shareable, but you played Animal Crossing, right?
Oh, not very much.
Oh, well, there's one guy you meet on the train when you're going from town to town during kind of the game loading thing, and he accidentally has rubbed off his face.
What?
No, it's okay. So it's a blank palette. So he's like to you, he's like, could you please draw me a face? And so you can draw him a face, and then this character will be walking around with that face for, I don't know, a couple of game days, you know, before you encounter him again and he's rubbed off his face again. And I would often give him the face of like the classic hitchhiker from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you know, no eyes, big mouth of teeth, tongue sticking out. You know, the green guy who was on the cover of a lot of the books. I don't know if the new editions still have him, but you know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, does he have a name?
I don't know. I call him the Hitchhiker.
No, so, yeah, like so, I have old hardcovers with that guy on it. Yeah.
Oh, good, because I'm like, that really happened, right?
Yeah. Well, the newer versions of the book don't have that.
No, they don't. They probably have the guy from The Office and.
Oh yeah, Martin Freeman. See, you say the Office, and you meant the English one.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, Steve Carell was on the cover of.
Now we're just confusing people. Steve Carell's a green guy? What?
He's in the Green Man Group.
Like, right now, I thank you all of those who have not turned it off by this point. So here's my challenge that I'd like to issue right now.
All right.
Okay. Now I want to see exactly how good user generated content is. So I invite you, the listener, to generate some content.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of like a little podcast graffiti. I'd like lots of little short things. They have microphones, right?
Sure.
I want to know what people think about video games.
Well, they don't even need a microphones, really. They can just call us at 608-492-1923, and we have ways of automatically turning that into audio that we can, you know, digitize and all that fun stuff. So, yeah. Either way.
But, like, that's the thing about user-generated content, though, is you get really good, well-made stuff, and you get a lot of garbage, too, but that's kind of what makes it fun, is, like, digging through it. Going. So send us your well-made stuff and send us your garbage.
We'll pick through it, apparently.
I'd like to hear what our listeners have to say. What are you playing right now? What did you eat for breakfast? Read me your current Facebook status.
You know, people are going to start lying to us, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, they're going to try and make their breakfast sound really impressive. And then, you know, maybe they really just had, like, eggs and toast. I don't want to hear that crap. I don't want to hear about, like, how you killed a wild boar with your bare hands in the frozen tundras of...
Dude, I want to hear that stuff. Let's see how that works. Let's see. So, write to us. Make flyers for VinkCon. This is our experiment for this week. If it works, that's great. If it doesn't, we won't try it again.
what is considered success in this case?
Success?
Yes.
I don't know. Basically just filling up a 20-minute block, I think.
Oh, so cynical.
The bar's really low here. So even if you've never commented before and you think you don't have one of those radio type voices. We just want to hear you.
Weren't you just like complaining about how like video game creators can't finish their own game? Shouldn't we just make our own podcast?
It's so late though.
I'm so tired.
This must be how the video game makers felt. Like,
I was like, oh, we make games every week, you guys.
We gotta make 30 more levels. Has anybody? Hey, look at these guys in the beta. Look at all the stuff they made. Let's just use that.
Can't they just hire like new grads from ITT Technical Institute and tighten up the graphics in level 3? Or I'm gonna, like mixing two different commercials now.
Yeah, you're
crud. DeVry?
The best part of that ad was how he was tightening up the graphics in that level by using no input other than the game's controller.
Right.
Oh man, that was a great ad. You have that somewhere in your vast collection of bookmarks, don't you?
Probably not. I mean, and if I did, it's probably disappeared somewhere. But I'm sure that we can find it and link it in the show notes.
All right. Well, Sean, this is an interesting podcast today, done in two parts, kind of at crunch time. So if you think you can do better than us, please submit something.
If you can think you can do a better podcast, please release your feed to iTunes.
No, don't. There's probably people who can do a better one. Okay.
Oh.
Oh, too much self-deprecating humor. Let's edit some of this out.
Oh,
okay.
No kidding. I just want to give a couple of shout-outs to people I ran into at MAGFest. So Earl Grey III, who was an awesome sport. And
and a better tea.
What?
Earl Grey. It's a tea.
No. It's spelled gray as in the color. Not the... Anyway. he was a great sport and made a very complicated cameo. Which we hope to have released by the next podcast, so we can talk about it a little bit. I also ran into Luffy Dan. I never know what to call him. I try and avoid Luffy because it sounds like a loofah. But,
well, if it's based on the One Piece character, it would be Luffy. So
yeah.
Okay.
Him as well. Thank you for the comically large Asahi. That was comically large.
What did you do at this?
What
con?
Did I okay. do? Thanks to Carson, who is not a boy. Thanks to the I know, right? What happened? Thanks to the Square Panther guys, who's like Adam and Ian. Oh man, I'm gonna get beat up for not remembering your names. But we recorded your cool booth and put it in one of our daily video diaries. And everyone else that I ran into over the weekend who's like, hey, fan of the dojo, keep up the good work. And I'm all like, thank you, threw it like a mouthful of burrito or something. So. Didn't get confused for a spoonie once. It was amazing. I think it was the beard.
You're disappointed, though. You must be disappointed.
I'm a little disappointed. I had this huge, like, brilliant plan for what to do about that, and I never got to act on it.
Well, now is your chance. Hey, are you Spoony?
Shut up, you son of a bitch.
That's the worst plan ever.
That wasn't the plan.
All right. I think with that.
Yep. Please follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Famicom Dojo. Check out our website, famicomdojo.tv. Check out our MAGFest coverage to famicomdojo.tv/MAGFest/2012. Or just /MAGFest. I guess it'll bring you there automatically. And yeah, we'll talk to you kids next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Famicom Dojo.